Good morning. I'm Jerry Yagar. How much financial planning do you do? Well, if you've got it down to the pennies and you sharpen that pencil and every once a month or something, you sit down and see where you're at, well, good for you. That's not the rest of us. So for all of the rest of us, what's a financial plan and do I really need one? Diane Chaban is with me, investment and wealth advisor at RBC Dominion Securities. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
All right. So is a financial plan, I mean, do you need one and how complicated does it need to be?
It doesn't have to be that complicated. I would say the more complicated you are, the more complicated your plan's going to be.
Okay.
But generally speaking, a financial plan, which everybody ought to have some version of, is A, going to show you your cash flow. So how much money do you have coming in? How much is going out from a budgeting perspective and expenses? So therefore, how much can you afford to save? And then a net worth projection. So based on how much you're saving and how much time you have ahead of you, you can get a real financial peek into the future, which is valuable.
Could I do this by myself?
You could. I've seen some.
I'm not that smart.
You're pretty smart. But I have seen some very impressive Excel spreadsheet type financial plans that clients of mine have come to me with, which are always very valuable because then they've tracked everything and I can even do a better job for them the more information that I have. But generally speaking, you do want to find a financial planner and an accredited person that can help you do what's called a real financial plan, and where they're going to input all of that data and give you some projections and also help to do some of the math backwards to figure out, okay, well, if you want to spend this much and retire at this age and you're going to kick the bucket at 100, then how much do we need to be saving today? And how much do we need to be earning from an investment standpoint to make that happen? And what I think is really valuable about that is that when it comes to your investment returns, you're not so concerned about beating the benchmark. Who cares about the index? It doesn't know who you are.
Yeah.
You're going to then be concerned with meeting your own benchmark. Like, what is your benchmark of an interest or performance rate that you need to be earning in order for your financial plan to be successful?
Do you find that, Diane, that somebody who maybe has a few years behind them, they're not 22, and they suddenly decide, I do need to do some sort of financial plan for my life, that once the numbers start to come together, they're surprised by their own life?
Yes, they're surprised, and generally in one of two extremes. Either the one that I really love to deliver is, hey, you now have permission to spend your money.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And where it's gone to a point, once a saver, always a saver. Right. So people are just socking away and then they've retired and they're just afraid to spend their money because they think, oh, my goodness, I've stopped working. My payroll has gone dry. Like, what am I going to do now? And so we do the projection and we show them, look, like, live it up. You can spend this money. Have a good time.
You don't be Mr. Scrooge.
Right.
Yeah.
And that also depends on what your goals are for your estate. You know, I've got clients that have said to me, it's really important that I leave X number of dollars behind for my kids or for charity. And I have others who say, no, I want to die knowing that my check to CRA bounces. I want to spend every single penny. And there's no right or wrong, you know, answer to that. You just have to make sure that you know what you want that end solution to look like and do the math backwards. And then there are some on the other end of the spectrum that have always been spenders. And even though they've accumulated a nice amount of wealth, if once they retire, they want to stop working completely, they have no other sources of income, and they're going to keep spending like they're spending, then the reality hits and it's like, yeah, you know, you can't actually, because you're going to run out of money when you're 84.
Right. And then you're going to be a greeter at Walmart, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Okay. So people may think, yeah, but I don't know if I want to put together an appointment with somebody like Diane right now. There are some online tools, are there not? Get started?
Yes, there are. I know with RBC, like with our online banking, there's this automatic financial planning software that starts to track your budgeting for you and tells you, oh, you spent more this month than you did last month and can start to give you those projections. I think we call it.
Do you have to be an RBC customer in order to do that?
You do. But from what I know, I think most of the Schedule I banks have some sort of like cool process that's been built into their online banking platform. So just when you're logged in, like scroll down towards the bottom and I'm sure you'll start to see some sort of metrics. And then there are some online tools that you can be using as well to input some money. But you want something that's going to be tracking your spending habits because we all spend more than we think we do. And that's one of the biggest variables to a financial plan is how much money is coming in and how much is going out and how much is being saved.
Sure. I bet a lot of people would not want to know how much they spend every month grabbing a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah. We spend more on food and entertainment than we think we do.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, you don't have to do a budget in order to have a financial plan. It's ideal. You could do it backwards and say, well, what's my maximum spend, right? And so if I want this goal to be reached, let's do the math backwards and see how much I can afford to spend every year. And you could set that up in a backwards way as well by setting up payments to pay yourself first and then you spend the rest so that you don't feel like you're on a budget. You want to flirt with that line of almost feeling like you're on a budget.
Do you find that once people do it, they find their life a little less stress in their life?
Yeah, I think any sort of uncertainty can cause stress, right? Even the market itself hates uncertainty more than it hates bad news. You can tell that just from headlines. So I would say the more clarity you have about your future and what your investment situation could look like, the less stress you're going to have. And what's cool about having a financial plan is you don't set it and forget it. You should be updating it every couple of years. And in particular, anytime there's sort of a material change to your life, you know, your income changes or you get married or you have kids, in which case now you've got higher expenses, right? Or you receive an inheritance. Anything that might change your financial picture, you should update your plan so that you can see how that's going to cascade over the years.
Yeah. Change in income and having a kid. Those have to be the two biggest ones that are going to change. They're going to rock your life financially.
Yes. Yeah. They can have such a big long-term effect.
Yeah. Yeah. And with a child on the way, have you thought about this?
Yes, I have thought about that very much. Very much. Lots of onboarding expenses.
Onboarding expenses?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, all this stuff that I never even knew I had to have that I need to buy now, you know, like cribs and strollers and food and breast pumps and
Those are one-time expenses.
Yeah, one-time expenses, but that's like a big onboarding expense.
Sure.
And then, of course, moving forwards, you've got to, you know, keep this kid alive and sheltered, so food and then eventually daycare and you know, I plan to go back to work right away, and so I need nanny services and a night nurse, and oh my goodness, it's just it's a never-ending thought of
but every
expenses.
One of those things impacts what we're talking about.
Yes.
In terms of if you think someday when this kid is through school or whatever, some years because you're young, you might want to stop working.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about. Like, how can I have this kid and also someday have enough money to walk away?
That's right. And actually a lot of parents find themselves in that predicament, particularly when they're in their maybe 50s or so. It's called this idea of the sandwich generation of, okay, I've got this money, I'm about this income, I'm about 10, 15 years out from retirement, but by the way, my kids are going to school and also my parents are aging and they need my help. So I've got this one income, where is this money supposed to go?
Moving back in with mom and dad, doable. Moving in with your kid, not so good.
Not so good.
All right. Diane Chaban, investment and wealth advisor at RBC Dominion Securities. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.